Get excited, church. Amen. We celebrate Father's Day. We celebrate our Lord and Savior. Amen. We celebrate Him. He's our Father every day, always. Amen. And always will be. Praise God. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Amazing Grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everyone gathered here today, Lord. Fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, everyone, Father. We thank you for all the souls gathered here. We ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive this message, Lord, a reminder that we all have two fathers, Father God, and we have our earthly father and we have our heavenly father. And we thank you, Lord, that you are that you love us unconditionally and that you show us that agape love, Father God, that we can receive nowhere else. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you on this day. And we ask that you bless this message and this time in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. My sermon title today is A Great Dad. And a lot of us have great dads. Amen. Amen. And some of us no longer have our dads, but we all have our great dad in heaven. Amen. And that's the premise of the sermon today. There was once a young mother. Oh, we're stepping away from Acts for a day, by the way. All right. I'm doing a topical sermon today for Father's Day for the dads. Amen. There was once a young mother who woke up one night and went into the nursery and found her husband looking down at the newborn baby who was asleep. I know it's supposed to be night, but I couldn't find a night picture, okay? The mother could tell that he was captivated by the scene, and he stood there looking at the baby sleeping. Amen. She was so touched that she finally tiptoed up behind him and put her arm around him and asked him, "What are you thinking about?" Amen, as he's staring at the child. He said, "I just can't understand how they can make a crib like this for only $89.95. Amen? For only $89.95. It's amazing how they did that. Fathers are interesting creatures. Amen? But, you know, there's always been a great need for dads. Amen? From the beginning. Amen? Even from the beginning. And we may think they're weird because of what they wear sometimes, right? Or their lack of emotions. I cry all the time, by the way, just so you know. We don't show our feelings, they say, like moms do, right? But I think we do. But dads play an important role in our families, right? So with that being said, you know, and today being Father's Day, I thought it'd be the perfect opportunity to see what the Bible tells us, amen, about what makes a great dad. Because the Bible talks a lot about great fathers. Amen? And so first we're going to see that a great dad loves his children. Okay, first and foremost, a great dad loves his children. So our first verse, Psalms, we only got a couple verses. We're going to be talking about a few verses today. But the first one, Psalms 103:13, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him," right? So I guess my dad loved me a lot because I was very afraid of my dad, amen, right? So, but he's tender, our Lord is tender and compassionate to those who fear him, right? We talk about a fear of the Lord, amen? A good fear of the Lord, right? Fear of his power in our lives. And so the word compassion means to love deeply and to cherish. Dads are supposed to cherish and nurture their children. Amen? Right, Zach? Look at, he's doing it right now. Got his little baby. And this isn't just the job of the moms, okay? The fathers are called to do this too. Even though society likes to think it's just the moms, dads are called to love their children as well, right? Dads are called to love their kids too. But one problem that we have in the world today is that men, a lot of men don't understand this. Amen? A lot of men don't understand there's too many absent dads. There's too many, what they call them, deadbeat dads, right? Absent dads, deadbeat dads. Far too many dads that aren't living up to the example of a compassionate, loving father. And Charles Spurgeon said that the fathers of the church are men of heart who naturally care for the souls of others. It's upon the father that the weight of the household falls. He goes forth in the morning to his daily labor, and he returns at night with the fruit of his toil for the support of the household. It is not for himself that he lives, but for that dear family which is gathered about him. Amen? That's the traditional father, right? And this was, of course, written in the 1800s. But you know, today we all got to work, right, just to get by. Amen. But this is just calling to say that the father, you know, it's the fruit of his toil for the support of his household. Amen. That's where the father should be. So this is where the father. This is what a father in the home should be. Supposing he is at home now, okay. Supposing he is at home, because there's a lot of homes without fathers. Amen. And so let's talk about that for a moment. Fatherless homes. I got some statistics for you that it amazed me, right? But I double-checked, I triple-checked them to make sure they were right and up-to-date, okay? 85% of all children, it says, that exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 85%. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. That's the statistics. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. And lastly, 85% of all youths sitting in jail or in prisons grew up in a fatherless home. Amen? Fathers, we can change the world by being great dads. Amen? We can change the world by being great fathers and doing our duty at home with our children. Amen? Number two, we're getting to Ephesians, our second verse there, Ephesians 6:4. A great dad is fair to his children, okay? A great dad is fair to his, not only called to be there, but to be fair, amen? Now, word to you fathers, Ephesians 6:4 says, don't make your children angry by the way you treat them, right? That's what it means. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. The NIV says, don't exasperate your children. Don't exasperate your children. Don't wear them out. Don't nag them. Don't make them hostile. Treat them fairly, even when they mess up, right? Treat your children fairly, even when they mess up. This doesn't mean that we don't discipline them, right? We still discipline our children, amen? We have to do that, but it means that we don't punish them unfairly. We have to be reasonable, and we have to be fair with our kids, right? Because we all know that sooner or later, our kids are going to do things that they're not supposed to do, right? Just like all of us did, amen? Or most of us, all of us, you know? Sooner or later, the kids are going to do what they're not supposed to do. So we should expect it. We should expect that kind of behavior from them, but it's all about how we react, about how we react to our children when they act up, right? A great dad, Ephesians 6:4, a great dad takes the time to train and instruct his children, right? To train and instruct his children. Let's look at the rest of that verse. It says, instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord, right? So we're training our children, but what are we training them? We're training them the what we've learned in God's Word, amen? In God's Word. And so what kind of instruction is Paul talking about? Moral instruction, right? Spiritual instruction, right? My dad was hard, yeah, but he taught me a lot about morals, right? He was tough on me, but he taught me how to respect my elders. He taught me how to be hardworking, and he taught me how to love God, right? So he may have been a hard man, but he did teach me the basic things that I needed as a child. Amen? So a better way to say this is to teach them the truth, right? Because God's word is the truth. Amen? So to teach them the truth. And being a spiritual leader in the household is part of that, right? Being a spiritual leader in the household and bringing our kids to church, right? It's not just the mother's job, amen? And we see that a lot more so than when we see the fathers bringing the children to church. But the father should be bringing the whole family to church, amen? Father should be leading the way to church and waking everybody up and say, let's go, right, Adam? That's how you do it, right? Wake them all up and say, let's go, we're going to church, right? That's what we're called to do, amen? And our children's response to this should be that as long as they're living in their parents' house, they're going to obey what you tell them to do, right? It should be, amen? As long as they're living in your house, under your roof, they should obey what you tell them to do. So if it's time to go to church, it's time to go to church. And now they may not always like it, they may not always agree with it, but since they want to please God, right, because we raise them in the truth of God's word, since they want to please God and not just dad, but God as well, they'll demonstrate this by obeying you and going with you to church, right? Even if you got to drag them, right? But they'll go, amen? It's a lot easier when they can do as you say and do as you do, right? Remember the old adage, oh, do as I say, but don't do as I do, right? No, they should be doing both, right? Because we should be a good example for them, right? Do as I say and do as I do, right? That's the Christian way to raise your children. And so we look at these three responsibilities and we see why it's so important that dads be the kind of dads that they're meant to be, right? It creates the structure for the whole family. We have a generation of children who don't know the difference between right and wrong. They have no idea, amen, the difference between right and wrong. And the reason is because they didn't have any fatherly influence in their lives. Didn't have any fatherly influence in their lives, or at the most, they had a poor influence in their lives. So they didn't have fathers who loved them a lot of times, treated them fairly, taught them right from wrong, or a father that they could trust their lives with, right? Children should be able to look at their father and trust their lives with them. Amen? Author Tim Hansel wrote, talking about his son, he said, "One day while my son Zach and I were out in the country, climbing around in some cliffs, I heard a voice from above me yell, 'Hey, Dad, catch me.'" Right? "Hey, Dad, catch me." Amen? "And I turned around," he says, "to see Zach," his name was Zach, by the way, "joyfully jumping off a rock straight at me, and he jumped and he yelled, 'Hey, Dad.' And I became an instant circus act," he said, catching him, and they both fell to the ground, right? "And for a moment after he caught him, he could hardly talk, he was out of breath, and when he found his voice again, he gasped in exasperation. He told Zach," he said, "'Can you give me one good reason, son, why you did that? Give me one good reason why you did that.' And he responded with remarkable calmness." He said, "Sure." He said, "Because you're my dad." Because you're my dad, right? He trusted him. Amen? His whole assurance was based in the fact that his father was trustworthy. His father was trustworthy. He could live life to the hilt because the father could be trusted. Isn't this even more true for a Christian, right? When we think about our Father in heaven, right? Think about Father God, right? We are his children. We think our dads can do anything, but when it comes to the children of God, we know our Father God can do anything, right? He can do anything for us. He can lead us. He can give us the strength. He can do everything for us. Amen? We have way too many young people today who have a distorted view of God. They got a distorted view of God. And because their relationship with their earthly fathers was so messed up, right? They have this distorted view of an earthly father, a godly father. And now it's hard for them to understand how God, if their dad's not loving, how can God be loving? A lot of times, right? It's hard for them to understand that. And how can he be patient? How can he be merciful? How can he be loving, right? Because these traits haven't been displayed through their earthly fathers. So one of the greatest characteristics about God is that he is a father, right? He's a father to me. He's a father to you. He's a father to all of us, right? That's his greatest characteristic. The truth is that each one of us here today has two fathers. Amen? We have the Father that gave us life, and we have our Heavenly Father, right? At some point, we've all had two fathers. And going with the fact that today's Father's Day, there's some truths about God being our Father, okay? First of all, he will always be around. God's always going to be around forever, amen? Eternally. Isaiah 9:6 says, For us For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. These will be his royal titles. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. There it is, right? Prince of Peace. This is our Heavenly Father, right? This is our Heavenly Father. And God, our Heavenly Father, isn't going anywhere. He's right here, right now. He will always be there. He will never walk out on us, and He's never going to die. Amen? He is eternal. He's now, and He will always be a constant source of hope, a constant source of love, instruction. When we're alone, when we are all alone, we can trust that God is there. Right? And that goes for any of us. Amen? When we are all alone, we can always trust God is there. He is the Father to the fatherless, it says in Psalm 68, and a defender of the widows. Right? This is talking about fatherless homes. Amen? A father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. This is God. The word fatherless and orphan are used 10 times in the Bible. Amen? 10 times they talk about that. The word widow is used 11 times in the Bible. And almost every time these words are being used, they're used to describe God either looking out for these widows and these orphans or giving them instruction, right? Never mistreating them, right? Always sticking up for them. Always being there for them. Always reassuring them. And that's what God does. Amen? God has a special place in His heart for children that live in a fatherless home. He's their dad. He's a great dad. There's single moms who may not be widows also, but their husbands or baby's daddies just aren't around. Amen? So it's not just about the widows. Amen? There's a lot of single moms out there that are doing all the hard work. Amen? And praise God for them. Amen? Praise God for them. And so, who's in the corner of the moms? Who's on their side, right? These single moms, single parent mothers, who's on their side? As a church, we need to remember this because a lot of times, single moms and fatherless homes are looked down upon in society, right? People look down upon them for being single, right? We don't know how they got there. We don't know. As a church, we need to embrace God's love and His concern in this area, right? God works through us, amen, through human means, right? We're called to help these single mothers, to help them in any way we can, right? That's what the church is here for. And that's what we are the church, right? We're the church. We're all the church. We're the body of Christ. And so, God loves us. Amen. He loves you and He loves us just as much as He loves His Son, Jesus Christ. Right? Because we're also His children. Amen? We're also His children. And John 17:22 says, I have given them the glory You gave Me so that they may be one as We are. It goes on to say, I in them and You in Me, all being perfected into one. Then the world will know that You sent Me and will understand that You love them as much as You loved Me. Right? The same. A family, right? We're all God's children. And the very next word Jesus speaks after that, after saying this, is Father. He says Father. Amen? Father. Jesus uses the word Father 6 times in this chapter. He's talking about our Father too. Amen? And that's how much God loves every single one of us. He loves us as much as He loves Jesus. Right? Just the same. Just the same. Even when He disciplines us, right? When the Father disciplines us, it's because He loves us. It should be because He loves us, right? If He's fair, right? And being honest and being truthful. And finally, with all that being said, oh, and my Father's Day gift to all the fathers, another one today, is a short sermon for you guys, all right? So you can get on to your barbecues or whatever you're going to do, amen? But finally, with all that being said, it's up to us to decide whether we want Him to be our Father, right? It's a free will. It's our decision if we want Him to be our Father. God has every right to have ownership in our lives. Why? Because He created us. Amen. He created us. He's our Father. But He's not going to force us. He won't force His way into our life to be our Father, right? It's a choice, right? It's free will. He'll never take us to court, right? He'll make us recognize Him as our Father because it's up to us to choose. Amen. We choose whether or not we're going to allow God to be our Father. He's there for us. He's there for each of us. He created all of us. He calls us His children, but we have to choose Him. Amen? We have to make that decision. John 8:42, Jesus told them, He said, "If God were your Father, you would love Me because I have come from God. I have come to you from God. I'm not here on My own, but He sent Me." Right? He sent Me. Just because our parents believed in God doesn't make us believers of God, right? Just because our parents may have been a pastor doesn't make us saved believer of God. Amen? We have to make that decision. The religious people in this chapter thought that just because they had the right ancestors, that they were already accepted, that they were already saved. But that's not how it works. Amen? This was the new covenant. Jesus changed that. Now it was going to be about a relationship. Amen? It wasn't about works. It wasn't about rules, man-made rules. It was about a relationship. He said, "If God were your Father, you would love Me." Right? It was about a relationship. To know Jesus is to know God the Father. Your Father. All of our fathers. Amen? So what does all that mean to us? Today, as we celebrate Father's Day, first we see that dads are very crucial in the life of our children. Right? Dads are so crucial in the life of our children. Second, we learn that the ultimate example of fatherhood is found in our Heavenly Father. Right? That's where we get our instruction as dads. We get it from God. Amen? We do as God does, and we raise our children in the truth. Amen? If we really want to know how to be a father, we need to model our Heavenly Father. Model our Heavenly Father. And finally, if our earthly father's not around, we should see that we are never alone because we always have our Heavenly Father. Amen? We all have at least one Father. Amen? Each and every one of us. Psalms 27:10 says, "Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord is going to hold me close." The Lord will hold me close. Even if everyone abandons us, the Lord will hold us close. This verse is saying that even if the blessing of our earthly fathers escapes us, the love of our Heavenly Father will still embrace us. Even if our father's passed on, amen? Even if he's passed on or gone, our Father God can still hold us close and lift us up in everything we do. Just because we no longer have a relationship with our earthly father does not mean we can't experience a miraculous relationship with our Heavenly Father. Even when we're wounded by the afflictions caused by our earthly fathers, God can restore us. Amen? He can restore us. He can lift us up healed and whole. That is the unconditional love of our Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. So today we celebrate our Heavenly Father. And, you know, Dad, Father God, You are the best. Our fathers are the best. Amen? With that being said, you know, this Father's Day, may it be celebrated with a whole new perspective on fatherly love, okay? A whole new perspective on fatherly love. And happy Father's Day from all of us to God the Father, amen? Because He is truly a great dad, right? He's truly a great dad. Let us pray.